into one nice, neat package, along with my tag team partner, Mark Eichhorst. And he is partner with the Capital Group. He is the former chief of staff for the Congressman Scott Kluge, the former congressman from the 2nd District. He's also served as the executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party. And he is the latest member of our power rotation here on this quality broadcast. Please welcome back to WRJN, Mr. Brandon Scholes. Brandon!
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Mark. Good to hear you.
You'd like to see us, wouldn't you?
Maybe I'll be lucky to be in the studio someday.
We would love to have you live in the studio, meet in person.
We'll see if we can make that work someday.
Right now, we got to
deal with the telephone.
Where are you headed this morning?
I'm headed up to Green Bay to help put the final touches on the upcoming U.S. Senate debate, which is sponsored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The Broadcasters Association has historically, traditionally done debates in the statewide races, whether it's governor, U.S. Senate, so this continues that long tradition.
And how are you involved in it specifically?
I do some work for the Broadcasters Association, so my role has been to be a liaison with the campaigns and try and help them and the WBA deal with the issues and the details of the debate. So today's the walkthrough.
Will the senators be standing at a podium, or will they be sitting at a table like the vice presidential debate the other night?
Well, you've got to wonder what the Presidential Debate Commission thought about having people seated at the table. No, they'll be at podium.
That's good, because I think that Senator Johnson or Senator Feingold, if they were that close, we might reach over and punch each other in the nose. There's not a lot of love lost between those two.
Yeah, there may not be a lot of love lost, but you know there are ways to act in a debate, and I think what we saw Canis Interruptus the other night. it was, and I stole that line. It's not original, by the way. Sure, you get points for being aggressive, and you get points for going after the other team. But at some point, when you're snarky and you're rude and you're disrespectful, a lot of those points come off the board. Well, I thought King did a better job of going after Trump than Pence did after Clinton. You know, every time he scored a point, he lost a point. And that is probably the demo reel you'll run for candidates when you want to train them on how not to debate.
Well, I think it's really ironic that the two people that were considered the winners of the first two debates, Hillary Clinton for the presidential one, and then, of course, Mike Pence on the Republican side for the vice presidential debate, both were the ones that did not interrupt as much, were not, as you say, snarky. And when you have advised your clients like Scott Kluge that you worked for, and when they're in those kind of debate situation, how do you prepare them not to take the bait?
Well, every time you have a candidate or a campaign that's coming up to a debate, somebody will come up and say, you know, if you see this, and if you could just get into this and get into their skin, they'll explode in the debate and you'll win. It never, rarely does it happen. Now, we've seen it, especially this year, because there's been so many weird things that have gone on. But, you know, people want to see performance. They want to see knowledge. They want to see issues. They want to see policies. They're not there for a mud wrestling match. And so, when you have a good candidate, I was very lucky. Scott Kluge didn't need me to tell him how to work a debate. He was as good as they get. But you do want to encourage candidates to stick to the game plan, stick to notes, stick to message, stick to message, stick to message. And once you go off message and you start hurling yourself around the podium and gulping water and rolling your eyes and all this other kind of stuff, you have now taken away some of the things that you've built toward winning the debate.
It's amazing throughout the history of debates. It's the one line that typically is the thing that takes the candidate that is considered winning the debate over the top. Those are the most memorable. The Lloyd Benson against Dan Quayle, the Ronald Reagan lines with the "There You Go Again" with Jimmy Carter, and of course the famous line that he had, Reagan against Walter Mondale, referencing that he wasn't going to take advantage of the youthfulness of his opponent because age was a. And but I've got the line for Trump. even though I would never vote for the guy, or for Hillary for that matter. But if at the end of the debate, he would just look into the camera and say, listen, you don't like the direction of the country. How much chance is there that I could get through 4 years? But if you don't like me after 4 years, then just say, Donald, you're fired. And that would win the day. Because by the way, it's true. We have survived some really hideous decisions by this president, by President George W. Bush, and we would probably even survive a Donald Trump presidency. But he's got to, at some point, take the fear. There's a really core fear in the country that this guy could end up becoming president.
There is, and there's also a core fear that Hillary Clinton will be president. You know, it's the most oddest of times where, you know, the next president will be chosen by people who really don't like them. And the people that, you know, what amazed me is the folks that talk about Donald Trump, they keep saying, if only. If he has a good week this week, then, you know, he can move forward. If only Trump would, during the debate, act like Mike Pence. If only Trump would say this line at the end of the debate. If only Trump would. I should have started counting way back when, the number of times that people say, if only Trump would.
Well, it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen.
He had 1 week in this entire campaign that I can remember in which he didn't have a gaffe or step on his own lines or just completely blown out anything he had done. And in fact, if you peruse around the news today, most people are saying, and most polls are showing, that Trump is back where he was back in August. Whatever bump he had, September is gone. He is back where he was. He has, again, given Clinton the opportunity to gain the lead, and if Clinton doesn't find a way to mismanagement in 32 or 33 days, whatever the number is today, it's going to be over.
Yeah, unless Julian Assange or somebody comes up with a major October surprise, I think it's over too. So you're going to finish the preparations for the senatorial debate between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson. How do you see that playing out?
I think that's a close race. In fact, later today, we'll see the Marquette University Law School poll that Charles Franklin put out, and you know, that will create lots of buzz depending on those numbers. And if the numbers show that the U.S. Senate race between Feingold and Johnson is close, I think it'll head that way into Election Day. I've long said that if Johnson's been down anywhere from a couple of points to a few more than that, but my sense has been that if by mid-October he can be within a point or two or three, then it really is going to come down to a function of each campaign's and each side's really ability to turn out their vote. And the question in Wisconsin is the infrastructure that Scott Walker built in his three statewide campaigns still as powerful as it was when he was elected and reelected? And if so, I think that's an advantage for Johnson. The question becomes is whether or not the Clinton campaign and working with the State Democratic Party and Russ Feingold's campaign have built that same infrastructure and are able to turn out their votes. Parenthetically, by the way, I'm shocked if we could talk about this in a while, that Clinton hasn't even come to Wisconsin. And yet she's, I think the polls will show that she's going to be up a couple of points and probably well positioned to win the race. So while Clinton, I think, is moving towards securing Wisconsin, I think the U.S. Senate race is close.
That's one of the most
down to the wire.
That's one of the most amazing and ironic things. A lot of pundits felt that the U.S. Senate was in play for the Democrats because of Hillary dominating, generally speaking, the Electoral College. But these Republican senators that are running for re-election are actually doing pretty well in places like North Carolina and Pennsylvania, Rob Portman in Ohio.
Yeah, there was a great fear that the Trump impact on the ballot would be to not only suppress voter turnout because of people's lack of enthusiasm, but also put downward pressure on Republican candidates even down into local offices. And, in fact, hasn't happened. You know, if you look at the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, the open congressional seat up at the 8th District Gribble seat, if you look at the state legislative races, there's really no evidence that Trump is hurting those candidates down ballot. I think what you're finding are very strong campaigns, and I don't think you're going to see any kind of Trump suppression. In the same respect, I don't think you're going to see any coattails. Coattails are a rarity, and you really have to have more than somebody just winning on the ballot to use coattails. You really have to have a massive brand sweep, it's just an overwhelming victory. I just don't see Clinton having that. Certainly Obama's victories in the last two rounds haven't produced any kind of coattails. So.
Well, in Hillary's case, it would be pantsuit tails, but nonetheless, it's Brandon Scholes. He is the partner with the Capital Group, the political commentator on WRJN's Community Conversations. This is Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner, Mark Eichhorst.
Brandon, what about some of our local southeastern Wisconsin legislative races?
Well, as I was going through the list, I think you'll find that on election night, when the results are in, we're going to be looking at relatively status quo. The only change, of course, will be in the 8th congressional seat with Mike Gallagher and Tom Nelson, a little north of you. And I think at this point, Mike Gallagher has got a campaign that's put together that is positioned to win. After that, in southeastern Wisconsin, there's really not a lot of competitive races, you know, that silly little bubble that people created about Paul Ryan's primary was just a joke, and you know, so Paul Ryan's fine. I don't see any state legislative races that are really in the competitive circle. I think more of them are up north in central states and up in the Green Bay area. So as far as your area, your listening audience, I think it's relatively status quo.
Well, we had State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on earlier in the week, and he told us that he is 99.9% confident that the Republicans will hold on to the control of the Assembly.
And so as Peter Barker might say, so there is a chance.
Well, the leader Barker is an ultimate optimist, that's for sure.
Robin Voss is exactly right. He may lose a seat or two or three because there are a couple of Republican Assembly incumbents who are in tough Democrat districts. There's an open seat that is a Democrat district. So he might, the Assembly Republicans might lose a few, but they certainly won't lose the majority. And in the Republican side, there's a little action. There's this open seat up in the Final Act Oshkosh area, which is kind of a toss-up right now between the Republican Don Fain and Mark Harris, Democrat County Exec. There's some chatter that State Senator Luther Olson, the Republican, may have some trouble, that the Democrats are kind of getting all lathered up about maybe taking him out, and Republicans are kind of thinking the same thing about State Senator Julie Lassa up at Stevens Point. But Lassa's district is very Democrat. Olson's district is very Republican, so you would need some real fast footwork to take down an incumbent. And, you know, it's worth watching, but I wouldn't bet the garage on it.
He's Brandon Scholes. He's with the Capital Group. He's a partner there in Madison. He's on his way to Green Bay to put on the final touches on the senatorial debate between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson. This is Glenn Klein and Mark Eichhorst on WRJN. So, Brandon, put your political consultant's hat on for us for a moment, if you will. The Supreme Court decided not to hear the case for the John Doe investigation here in Wisconsin, and yet the Democrats continue to bang that drum. If you were consulting them politically, what would you advise?
And who am I advising, the Republicans or the Democrats?
The Democrats.
Well, look, one thing about politics is that fear sells, and bad news sells. And the more the Democrats can take this issue and continue to milk it, you know, they'll get everything they can out of it. Because the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have a case, this is over, we're done, what should be done is everything should be given back. They should, you know, once all those documents are returned, people could think about trying to get their lives back in order. they should tape the boxes and be done with it, not having the printers in the DA's office keep going. Unfortunately, that won't happen because while they've lost the case in court multiple times, they will continue to try in the court of public opinion. And again, in politics, you know, fear sells, and if they could sell some of this and continue to use it to attack people, they will. You would hope that they don't, but that doesn't appear to be the case.
Well, you would only hope that they don't if you're a Republican, which you are. But the Democrats definitely want him to keep slamming Governor Walker for this, and because especially the leaked documents, really smacks of major corruption in Madison.
Well, if you believe the headlines, you would think, geez, you know, this is corrupt. And in fact, what was done isn't corruption. I've said from the very beginning, when people don't understand what's required of 501c4s, issue advocacy groups versus campaigns versus PACs versus independent expenditures, the law wasn't broken here. Okay? If it was, they would have had a case. That's not the case. If somebody wants to be surprised that people and campaigns and candidates are raising money, oh my gosh, really? Raising money for political campaigns? I'm shocked.
You mean there's
terribly shocked.
There's pool in River City? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. There's gambling at the casino. There's girls in Vegas. There's booze in bars. So if there was a case, there were so many opportunities for the courts to say, yes, there's a problem here. The law was broken. Never once. Never once did they do that. And instead, John Chisholm and his gang continued to try and force, you know, they were taking a round peg and trying to shove it in a square hole and say there was a crime. They were trying to create a crime to fit what they wanted. It didn't happen. And it didn't happen not once, not twice, multiple times. So, you know, yeah, if you're advised, look, your last opportunity is in the court of public opinion. You might as well take it, dump all your documents. If there's any more, dump them too. Continue to ruin people's lives because this is the last shot you have at it.
He is Brandon Scholes. He's a partner with the Capital Group. He's a political commentator. He's on his way to Green Bay to put the bow on the finishing touches of the senatorial campaign or a debate between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson. I have another revelation for you besides the fact that there's booze and bars and women in Vegas.
Okay.
The man or woman who you stole the line for or from Canis Interruptus, that wasn't original with them either.
Oh, really?
No. No. All right. Every good line is stolen from somebody. There's never an original thought.
Yeah. Well, I should have clarified that. I lifted it off of something I read. Oh. I don't know who created it.
It's pretty,
but it was the funniest line I had read ever.
It's a pretty good one. And you're a pretty good one. You're a great one. We really appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you next week.
Super. Lots of fun. Have a great day, you guys.
Thanks, you too. There goes Brandon Scholes. This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst on WRJN Community Conversations. We will continue momentarily because we've got the great Tom Carco standing by in the News Center with this hour's news block. But first, let us hear from the good folks at Real Racine.
Real Racine invites you to take a fall drive on the scenic back roads of Racine.